that doesn't want to close, that wants to stay open all the time. I guess that's proper for music director. Shall all the joy of friendship. It's always a joy to be here. This morning, as I was praying and thinking, and I'm going to do a devotional style message tomorrow. Now, sometimes devotional means shorter, sometimes it doesn't. But I'm going to do a devotional style message tomorrow. So to prepare for that, I want to preach this message tonight. So I'm changing the message tonight after thinking it through. So I want you to take your Bibles and find Ephesians chapter 5. Put the ribbon of your Bible there, all right? Then find Colossians chapter 3 and put the ribbon of your Bible there. If you got two ribbons. I have four ribbons in my Bible. Okay? If you don't believe me, they're even in the gospel colors. Right there they are. If you do not have a second ribbon, you can put your tithe envelope that you're going to give Sunday there. All right? You're prepared. And something to mark your place. Then James chapter 1. Now, we're going to look at three single verses from these books. And I want to tie something together because I want to speak tonight on something that needs to be said in every church. And that is, how do we translate the scripture into our daily lives? We can hear preaching all day long. We can read our Bibles at great length. But how do we really apply the Bible to our lives? So these are two practical messages. Tonight we'll lay the foundation, kind of open up the gate for tomorrow's message out of the book of Psalms. Look at Colossians 3:16. Let's start there since you've got your places marked. And watch what the Bible says. We have sang many songs tonight. It really gives me great peace to do this because we've sang many songs that has to do with the Bible tonight, with the Word of God. And so notice what verse 16 says there in Colossians. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you, you tell me, richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How do we do that? What puts us on a path of literally taking the Word of God and placing it into our daily living? That's critical. Many people can live their entire Christian life and they can memorize Scripture, but the Bible does not grip them the way God intended it to grip. And they can go through their entire Christian life without the richness of the wisdom of God in their lives on a daily basis. Now we're through with that. Now go with me to the Ephesians passage. All of these are so familiar with you. And look at verse 18. Now watch what this says. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. You are well taught people. Filled with the Spirit means that we are controlled by the Spirit. The word picture there in the language is a ship on the sea and the wind filling its sails, pushing that ship in the direction the wind intends for it to go. God wants to control our life. He wants the Word. Now watch this. He wants the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly so that the Spirit of God can lead us. Now, we cannot place the Bible in our lives on a daily basis without richly dwelling in the Word and allowing the Spirit of God to lead us. Really, those two things are inseparable. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you are going to love God's Word. And God's Word will have a profound effect upon you. God's Word will change your thinking. And by the way, our thinking needs changing, doesn't it? It will change your philosophy of life. It will change what you believe. And what better to rule us than God's Word? We have enough of ourselves, do we not? We have enough of the world, do we not? Yes, we have all of those things. And they're constantly combat. They're against us. But here we find that we are able to allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly. Now watch this. And the Spirit of God control us. Now go to the James passage. Just one verse. And we're going to connect all these together. Look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There is no way we can practice this verse if the Word of God is not dwelling in us richly and the Spirit of God controlling our life. This is why we talk more than we listen. This is why we do not listen when we should be listening. This is why sometimes we come to church and it's been a little bit of a battle in the car with the kids going nuts, and we had to get it all together. We come in church and we got things on our mind, and the pastor who has studied all week and is ready to deliver his soul, having prayed over that message, having seen how that message could help everybody in his congregation, and you come in tired, and you come in worn out with the kids, things on your mind, wondering what's going to be happening in your own life, and you are present, but uncounted for. You don't mean to check out. You're good people. You don't mean to check out. But Satan has designed that to keep you from applying God's Word to your life. Let me tell you how important every service is. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Every service, I wish every church member could hear not just me say it, but pastors say it all over this nation all the time. Every message that's prepared from the Holy Spirit to your pastor is messages that you will need desperately in your life, maybe that very moment, an hour, or at a later time when the test really comes. And we have people who love God and they serve God, but their lives are never changed by the power of the Word of God. So when you read your Bible and when you hear preaching, it's an opportunity for the Spirit of God, as you are filled with the Spirit and you're allowing the Word of God to dwell in you richly, to really change your life. Do more than just challenge. Do more than just say, boy, that was a great sermon. It's not that the pastor shouldn't hear those words, but he had rather see his sermon change your life than hear you talk about his sermon. Because that's what every godly pastor is after. So when you read the Bible or when you hear preaching, what are you thinking? What's important? What are some questions that you should ask yourself when you read your Bible in the morning? All right, I'm going to give you five. I'll give them to you slowly. You may want to write them down. But these questions should be asked before you read in your personal devotions so that you can get something out of it. And here's the first question. Is there a lesson to learn? God, what do you have for me in this passage today? Is there a lesson to learn? Is there a blessing to enjoy? Look for a blessing to enjoy. Is there a command to obey? Is there a command in the scripture, in that passage of scripture, that you should obey or that I should obey? Here's the fourth question. Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a sin to avoid? And then here's the last question. Is there truth to apply? Now, when we ask ourselves these questions, it will help us. My proposition to you this evening is simple. Applying, and that's what I mean by translating, by applying the Bible to our everyday life takes these two truths that we talked about in Colossians and Ephesians. We have to be word-filled and spirit-filled. That's important. If we're not word-filled or spirit-filled, we can hear some of the greatest messages in the world and they'll never have the effect on them that God intended for them to have. Wouldn't it be a sad thing to get down the road of life hearing the best preaching in the world and you miss some of the greatest truths that God wanted to teach you? I shudder when I think about that because I wonder about my own life. I've sat under the preaching of great men of God. If we're not careful, and your pastor, he's an expositor. He's going to preach and teach to you the Word of God. And you have to be ready to open up your heart. Now that brings us to James. Now let me point out these three things, and we're going to talk about them tonight. Now, I hope somehow it can be indelibly impressed upon your heart. But there are things that we should tune in, there are things that we should tone down, and there are things that should sweeten up. And I want to talk about those three things here in this passage of Scripture. First of all, let's tune in. Let's tune in to what God is saying. There are three ways that God speaks to us. One is through the Holy Scriptures. We can read it, and God speaks to our heart. My wife and I are reading through the book of Psalms this month with our church back home. That was the summer reading in June. We're almost finished. We read 5 Psalms a day in the month of June. Didn't miss a day so far. Tomorrow's my birthday, and we won't miss a day tomorrow. And then we read a paragraph of Psalm 119. There's 8 verses per stanza to get through the 176 verses. So we've already finished that 119. We finished it this week. Why do we read the Bible? Well, you know, preacher might preach on it. I want to be sure I have a clear conscience. So I'm going to read a verse and I'm going to. No, we want to read the Bible to allow God to speak to our hearts, to ask ourselves those questions and see what God will do. So he speaks to us through the scriptures. Number two, he speaks to us through sermons. Sermons from your pastor. Sermons from visitors, the visiting preachers that come. He speaks through sermons. Sermons that are personally given to that pastor or that preacher or that evangelist or missionary for the church at that very moment to help them. And then the third way is God speaks to us through his Spirit. Now, let me say something. It is easier to hear God speaking in the Bible, and it is clearer to hear God speaking from the pulpit than it is to hear God speaking with his Spirit to our spirit. It takes a connection. There must be ears that hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. It's what the Bible says, isn't it? What the Spirit says. So which one do you think of those three would the devil work the hardest to keep you away from? He's not going to keep you away from church. You love church. You're going to come hear your pastor preach. You're not going to stay away from the Bible. You're going to read your Bible. You're a dedicated Christian. But when God's Spirit wants to speak to your spirit, that is life-changing. And the devil works the hardest to keep God's Spirit from ever speaking to your spirit. And it's because we're not tuned in. We have to be tuned in to what God is saying. Look at our text in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Quick to hear. Open, fast, and ready to hear. To hear what the Spirit saith. Through your scripture reading, through your pastor's sermon. You see, if we're not tuned in to what God is saying, how will we ever translate any verse of scripture or a principle or apply any scripture to our lives? It will be very, very difficult. It'll be very hard to do. Tune in to what God is saying. Notice it's what it says. Secondly, not only are we to be swift to hear, but we're to be slow to speak. Here's my second thought. Tone down ourselves. Tone it down. The plain, unvarnished truth is most of us talk too much. Now that's awful for a visiting speaker to come here and say that, isn't it? But I have the same issue. I'm preaching to myself. My dad had lots of wise sayings. You would have loved my daddy. He's in heaven, been there since 1996. He died before his 75th birthday. But one of the things he used to say was, many things are opened by mistake, but none so frequently as the mouth. He had a way with words. What is the Spirit saying to us in this passage of Scripture? It is saying, do not talk as much as you are accustomed to talking. We are accustomed to it, aren't we? All of us are. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The word wanteth, the old English word, means sin's not lacking. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. The more we talk, the more mathematical probability there will be that you're going to sin with your lips eventually. Proverbs 21:23 says, whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. How I need that verse. If we want to stay out of trouble, keep our lips together. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. The more a person talks, the more he sometimes proclaims the foolishness of his heart. And we've all heard this quote, it is better to keep our mouth shut and to be thought a fool than to open our mouth and remove all doubt. A Jewish rabbi taught this. The ears are made always to be open. The mouth is made where it can be closed. And the tongue is enclosed with a den of ivory bars to hold it back. What was he saying? We are supposed to be listening twice as much as we are speaking. Isn't it interesting what Jesus said to the Pharisees? You remember this verse, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. The word idle is the same Greek word found in James 2:20. Faith without works is dead. It's an interesting, in other words, it's non-productive. The poem goes like this, and maybe you learned it in grammar school. A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we be like that wise old bird? you and I have an opportunity to tickle his funny bone. It is not that every word should be spiritual or every word should be serious. We've had a good time here tonight. Humor can be so refreshing. I need it. I was with Dale today and he was quite refreshing. I love his sense of humor. It's relaxing. It can even be instructive. Now, I have a rule. I never tease people about their weaknesses. I always tease about their strengths, because if you tease them about their weaknesses, they think you're jabbing them. You'll never bring them along if you tease them just about their weaknesses. So I always pick out their positives. Deb Fulford is our bookkeeper. If a bill comes in that day, boom. And so we had a fire in our church a few years ago. And so we was paying bills and the insurance was going to reimburse us. And so she told me, she says, Pastor, I got the bill from the service company that came in and cleaned everything up. And that bill alone was over $30,000. And she says, I went ahead and paid it today. And I says, what took you so long? Because I can tease with her about that strength. She doesn't let a bill lie. Both ways. Figure that out here in just a moment. So we laugh even when we hear Jesus use humor. I mean, can you imagine what someone may have thought when Jesus talked about gagging gnats and swallowing camels? Just think about that just for a moment. No wonder the psalmist said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Tune in, tone down. The last one I want to speak to, sweeten up. Be slow to wrath. Look at verse 19. Slow to wrath. When a man starts listening more than he talks, he has the power to change his temper. Yes. The word-filled and spirit-filled believer. Did you get that connection? We talked about that earlier. The word-filled, Colossians 3:16, the spirit-filled, Ephesians 5:18, learns how to control their mind and their heart, which will control their mouth. They're all connected. Jesus said that what's in the heart will come out the mouth. Because of being filled, he learns how to control himself. Even when he is challenged, he can control himself. Now, when do you want me to be finished? When do you want me to finish? can I give a story? I'm almost done. When the virus hit, our staff got together, and as the governor and mayor, we lived in the city of Indianapolis. Marion County was a heavy red county because it's the largest county, 1 million people. And so the governor would say one thing and open things up, and our mayor would say, we're one step behind the governor, because there were three hot areas and we were one of them. And so we had to get on a plan to, first of all, keep our church as connected as we possibly could stay connected. So we would live stream our services and have the special music, and there'd be 10 or 12 people there. Sight and sound was there, special music was there, and I preached to cameras in empty seats, you know, with just a handful of people. But I never, ever one time said anything about preaching in an empty auditorium. I preached as if the place was full, just as if the whole church family was there. And we tried to stay and created an atmosphere that was what it was if they were there. And so as we were opening back up, and as we were saying we're going to have to come and we're going to have to wear a mask, and that was a mandatory thing, and we were different. Every state is different. Well, one of the newer members of our church, who was a failed pastor, came. First of all, he put on Facebook, without ever talking to me, why he's leaving our church. Now, folks, I'm going to go on a rant right now, okay? Facebook is not your family. Your church family, your church is your family, not Facebook. And so So I called him and I said, "Hey, I read your Facebook post. I didn't know anything about it. I said, would you come in and talk with us about it?" So Pastor Chris and I, they came to my study, and here's what he said to me. This is recent, real recent. "I believe that you have led our church to sin against God, in that you followed all the rules of the governor and the government. And there are people dying and going to hell, but you don't care. And this church is in sin." And that's what he said across. It so shocked Pastor Chris. So I was praying with my eyes open. What am I going to tell this preacher who couldn't do it the 2 years he tried? And so I just leaned over my desk and I said, Here's my Bible. Show me that verse." And he looked at me and I said, I got a little closer. "Take my Bible and show me the verse that we're in sin." He still didn't. I said, "Please, Jeb, take my Bible and show me the verse." And here's what the preacher said: "I don't have to." Now, I want to tell you something. I was doing everything I could to be sweet. Real sweet. Because my flesh wanted to take over. But I did not let it. And the Lord spoke to my heart that very moment about keeping my mouth shut. I'm telling you, we are challenged all the time. We better be ready to be sweet. If not, your mother-in-law will light your flame. And you'll go up like a skyrocket and come back a stick in the mud, which is not healthy. You have to learn. It's so important. If we don't, we could be in serious, serious trouble. So how do we do that and not get angry? Is there a way to be angry and not sin? Well, the Bible teaches us that it is. Jesus got angry, didn't he? Of course he did. We read about it in the New Testament. Three helps when it comes to our anger. One, be angry for the right reason. Don't be angry for the wrong reason. Secondly, be angry for the right thing. It's important that you focus on the right thing. And then be sure that you get angry in the right way. Because if you don't get angry in the right way, you'll show your foolish mind. And you'll show your poor character. And that's what happens. Ecclesiastes says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." That's a strong rebuke, isn't it? Proverbs says it this way: "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Losing your temper and becoming angry is not a sign of strength or being spirit-led. It is a sign of abuse. Grievous words stir up anger. Questions stir up the heart. So we do not kindle strife as godly people. A cruel word will wreck a life. So we're careful about what we say to our children, our adult children. A brutal word can kill. A joyous word may light the day. Timely words will lessen stress. And loving words will heal and bless. But we've got to be determined to understand that God intends for us to tune in. If the word-filled believer, controlled by the Spirit, if they will tune in and tone down and sweeten up, all of our lives can be transformed by the power and authority of God's Word. And may the Bible do just that in your life. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this simple thought tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that we're able to bring these three verses together and marry them in our own life. Help us, Lord, to tune in to what you have to say and tone down our own mouths so that we can sweeten up. And help us to know that when we hear a Bible truth, that the Spirit of God wants to take His Word and minister to our spirit and change our life. God, help us to listen to the still small voice that often comes in our fast world. May we hear from you, and may we be able to translate or apply the Word of God in our daily lives because of these simple thoughts tonight. And we'll thank you for it, Pastor.